Blog Talk Radio.
You are in the Inspiration Zone with the Angel Ladies. Join us for half an hour of sparkly conversation, uplifting ideas, and thought-provoking topics, and even some words of wisdom from the angels themselves. You never know what will happen, but it's always a fun-filled adventure. And now, here are your hosts, Deb and Jean, the Angel Ladies.
Angel ladies. Welcome,
hello.
Everyone.
Welcome, indeed. Hope you're having a good day today.
I feel like those two on Saturday Night Live from the Public National Radio. Yes, hello. Good times. We're back.
Oh, yes.
We're back.
And sweaty balls.
Yeah, good times. We are back.
It has been a long time.
It has been a long time. But we have got the nudge from the angels to get on with it.
Yeah, I'm for those of you who know us, you know that I've been having some health challenges, and that's been the reason behind the iffiness, I guess, of our shows, and feeling good. So we're back at it.
That's
good.
It does.
It's good to be back.
There will be a new opening for next week, but
I miss the bouncy music.
That was the one that we always used.
No, the other music. There's other music. I've heard so many tunes from Deborah, you know, as we listen to, how do you like this one? How do you like that one? But there's one that I bet you like, so maybe next week we'll have a change in music.
Well, okay. We can do that.
We might.
Everything's up in the air. Everything's ready for negotiation.
Well, we hope that you guys are having a wonderful day. Here in Ontario, it's spring day, about 42 degrees, six degrees outside.
But after the winter we've had, this is like, there are people walking around in shorts, I swear.
Do you know there's a possibility of snow later this week, Deborah?
I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
We get tulips coming up. I'm happy.
Well, I doubt it will be much, if anything, at this point, because we're really into spring now.
Well, we can still, like, up to May 24th, we can have frost in this part of the world. So, you know, that's after that, it's safe to plant your flowers.
But I think here in Niagara, it's a bit more temperate.
By then, we have the tender fruit here. We've got peaches and grapes and pears
and pecan trees.
Yep.
Pecan if you're from the south, and pecan if you're from Canada.
I always thought it was pecans.
Regions north. Pecan trees.
Pecan trees. Have a pecan pie.
Well, we're so glad that you joined us. We're going to be talking today. We're taking a leaf from our own book, our second book, Psychics and Mediums of Canada, has proven to have generated a great deal of interest. So we thought, well, let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have chosen for our first topic, psychics and mediums.
Oh my. Well, and every week we're gonna talk about it. We might even actually extend this to next week. There's so much to talk about the subject. And it's one of those things that a lot of people have interest in. There was a poll on my online radio station today. If you could be in a carnival, what would you like to do? You know, it'd be a tightrope walker or, you know, ringmaster, fortune teller. There are about 12 things, and of course I click fortune teller, and that was the one that got the most response, because there's a real interest in the unknown, in people that can see into the unknown. You know, we give a lot of power, and you know, some of the most popular shows on television right now involve the supernatural or the, you know.
There's a bit of a taboo around it as well.
Yes.
Our fundamentalist friends of many different varieties will absolutely shy away from that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of, well, the occult, right?
Yes.
There's a bit of mystery around it, a bit of hidden information, hidden knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And as the angel ladies, we kind of walk into that world, you know, because we follow the wonderful teachings of and guidance of our holy angels. So we kind of, we don't tread too far into the occult, you know, into the dark stuff. I've never been pulled that way. But I know there is a fascination for things like zombies and the Walking Dead and vampires. And I think in a way it's an expression of our own curiosity, you know, the dark side, the shadow side in each of us. But we tend to stick to the angels and things of the light. And so we'll be talking about psychics and mediums today. And I guess that's the question that comes to us, that when we wrote our book Psychics and Mediums in Canada, we tackled a lot of the different questions that have come to us over the years. And people want to know, well, what's a psychic and what's a medium? What's the difference? And so we spent quite a lengthy time exploring that, examining what's psychic, what is a psychic, who is a psychic.
And we got, in interviewing 44 different people for the book, we got pretty much 44 different answers.
Yes.
One of the briefest answers that I got from a very well-respected medium was, psychics use a tool, whether it's reading the aura or, you know, using their psychic sense or ESP, but they're using a tool. They'll use cards. They'll use runes. They'll use the ball. There are a variety of methods of accessing information that psychics will use, where mediums go directly to spirit, and where a psychic gets, I would suppose, information, insight, guidance, blah, blah. A medium who is working with the departed is going to get, they look for proof.
Yeah.
You know, something that the
communication,
something that the client can indeed identify and verify as being, oh, that's dead grandma, you know. What we have heard over and over again was all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. And indeed, not all mediums do the same thing. I've worked with angels all this time and never considered myself to be a medium at all. It was the group that we interviewed who said, well, you're connecting with the other side. That is a mediumistic, you know, quality, which shocked me. I had never considered it.
I find this so interesting. We wrote the book in 2006, and we interviewed 44 people. We split the list, and sometimes we had a joint interview with people. We got readings from everybody so that we knew who we could trust and who we felt really good about. There's some people out there that you have to be careful about, and we wanted to showcase people that we really felt were there to help people and who had a good gift. 2006, I don't know how many, probably 20 of them, I'm sitting there because we were sitting in on each other's readings, sometimes over the phone, well, I guess largely over the phone. We were interviewing people across Canada, and everyone, when it came time to talk to Jean, said, I'm being told that you should be sitting in my chair, that you have this gift. And Jean's been like, oh, well, for like, what, 12 years?
Well, before that, in 1999, do you remember when we got together with our friends from the
yes.
Barbara Scherer workshop?
Yes.
And we all went together to have our fortunes told. We went to see a psychic.
That's right.
And one comes down with all kinds of information. In my past life, I was this kind of person.
I was a
queen.
Demigod.
You know, but I mean, you all come down with this cool information. Who knows if it's true or not, but it was, you know, you were a queen. You were, you know, wow. And
royalty.
So I went up with great anticipation. I was the last of the group to go up. And I walked in, and he said, what are you doing here? And I was like, I came from a reading. And he was like, well, you should be doing readings. And he didn't tell me anything about myself. He made me work for an hour.
And you still had to pay him.
Yeah, and I still had to pay him. He had me look out the window and describe what the area was like. You know, just close your eyes, he said, and tell me what this area would have been in 1300. I'm like, what? What? because it was so new. And so I promptly, I figured, yeah, well, that was a waste of money and totally ignored that.
Well, I think that it's what we're...
This despite the fact that I started reading tarot cards when I was 12.
Well, but
my allowance money, I bought a deck.
I think it's we're bringing this up because not everybody is aware that they're psychic. They're drawn to the world of, you know, psychism, and they want to be... we all want to have a crystal ball and see what's around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, many of us, are Jean included, is very shy about accepting that gift. And sometimes, you know, I'll give you an example. When I was at a parish in Lindsay, Ontario, there was a psychic fair. Now, we're going back about 20 years. And it was a Bible Belt area. And it was very brave of these people to come up. And so I was rather new to the parish and not all that well known. So, you know, I go over. I want to go see. And I felt such guilt. I felt like this is taboo. Like I crossed the line into this room.
And you a priest.
Me a priest. And I crossed the line. I went into this room and you know, immediately felt energy. I've been doing therapeutic touch. I felt the energy. And there might have been two people. Two clients. Everybody else is sitting around reading, playing cards, and trying not to look bored. And we've been there since. But I walked around and I talked to some people. And this one lady had watched me from the time I came in, and she was sitting at a table and she had her cards. And she said, "I'm really bored." She said, "Let me read for you. I'll give you a half price special." And I stood and I talked to her for a while and didn't want to give away any information because I was still feeling really kind of sheepish about mm-hmm. being there to begin with. And I said, "Well, I don't really know how I feel about readings." And she said, "Well, you know, it's just entertainment. You're not going to hear anything bad." Or I hope not. Anyway, you know, she was kidding me, you know, kind of. So I agreed. I would go and sit. So we're talking. And I said, "I really feel funny about this." She said, "Well, what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm actually a priest." And she said, "My mother's a priest." And I knew her mother. And all of a sudden it was okay. There's a real feeling around, you know, when we go to a psychic, when we go to a medium about, you know, what is it about and can they see into my soul? It's kind of like when you know somebody you're standing beside is a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Do they know I'm crazy? Can they see into my mind? There's part of us that really is fascinated at once but doesn't want it. We're also worried about what might be revealed. So a psychic is as we understand it, when you go to see a psychic, they're working with you immediately. They're working with the impressions that they receive. They're mm-hmm. seeing into your auric field.
To me, when I've done a psychic reading, it has been a lot more work. You know, if I'm working with the cards, I'm getting intuitive insights, but I'm also, you know, using the cognitive faculty, you know, the traditional symbology and meaning of the cards or whatnot. I'm trying to pick up on the energies and pinpoint what I'm receiving and what does it mean. And it's a lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
To me, working with the angels, if that's mediumship, okay, working with the angels is far, far easier because I just relax. They do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is open my mouth, you know, and if I'm channeling them, they'll give the message.
Well, that's a distinction, yeah. With a psychic... They're doing the work. They're getting information, but they're kind of the message. They're relaying things much more. It's like the difference between Reiki and therapeutic touch. You mm-hmm. know, hands on and hands off kind of thing. A psychic is really involved in what they're saying. From my experience, a medium, you're right, is the channel and doesn't have as much personal investment.
Not all mediums channel. Channeling is something different entirely again, because when I channel the angels actually speak through me.
Yes.
When I'm getting an angel message, you know, they're showing me the information, they're showing me images
mm-hmm.
that then I translate, which is why it's so much easier. People will sometimes say, well, you know, and I understand the skepticism. You know, let the angel tell you. I'm not going to tell you anything.
Yes.
You know, just come forward with that. And so the angel will give a symbol, and I'm mindful of the reading I did for my mentor where the symbol that popped up was an orange,
mm-hmm.
which made no sense to me. And because she was one who said, let's just see what comes, I'm left with simply deciphering the image and letting her put it together, which she did, and in fact was in tears when I opened my eyes at the end of the reading. And whatever was going on, because she kept her mouth shut, and that's her prerogative,
mm-hmm.
whatever was going on, that orange spoke to her heart in deep and profound ways that she gave me such a hug and was just awash in tears. Okay, you know, but it's not my message. It's not for me to know. I don't have to understand, you know. But it's for me, it's easier to channel.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to channel and just let them do the talking, and I can just, you know, they'll show me like a picture show. It's like I'm using a chalk with a rattle.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the channeling with the person, and they're showing me pretty pictures, you know?
Yeah.
Fine. I'll take it.
So it works.
But generally, you know, just as a baseline, psychics may or may not use tools. They might read your aura. They might, you know, see, you know, images.
And
you
we've
know.
Met some people that are uncannily accurate.
Oh, my gosh. We have met some incredible psychics. Incredible. Whereas a medium is going to be able to connect with the spiritual world and connect with individual spirits, angels, you know, that kind of thing, and give a message or offer some kind of proof. And so there's your difference in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. What was it? And we also get a lot of questions around predictions. Are predictions accurate? Now, having written the book and having had all these wonderful experiences of talking to really profoundly lovely people who all gave us predictions, you know, one of them said that, you know, the Psychic and Mediums book was going to be like number one bestseller in Canada. And, you know, it hasn't happened yet. But
well, they had, it was kind of a loaded question for them too, though, right?
Right.
Because they wanted to be part of it. And so there was a little bit of emotion. There's a real, you know, there's kind of a rub, because when you're giving a reading, the personality of the reader has got to take a back seat.
Yes.
And let the information come through and not color it with your own desire or emotion, et cetera. And that can be really hard. I'm mindful of one of the people we interviewed who did not make it into the book, who was rabidly, I mean, everything in her reading was political. And
yes.
You remember? And she
yes.
was very critical and heavily
very,
judgmental.
Really negatively.
Yeah,
yeah.
Condemnation.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, you know.
I remember that.
Mind you, she may have been entirely accurate, you know, on the physical level of understanding the political scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't what we were looking for. We were looking for people who were a little bit, you know, more removed, who could separate their physical experiences and opinions from their psychic, their spiritual reading, you know. So that was one of them. But
and everybody gave us their best, their very best, because
and they all had glimmers. They all had little elements, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. Nobody hit it dead on the head and predicted, you know, how well the book would do, or even, you know, whether the book would go anywhere. No one hit, none of the predictions were entirely true.
There was one person who saw us moving west of Hamilton.
Now he was really good.
Yes.
He was very
oh.
good. But even then, he got the time wrong.
Yes.
And that's the thing about predictions. When if you go to a reader and you want a prediction, good luck and God bless you, because the reader can only give you what she's picking up at that moment. The more people who are involved in this situation, the more choices and free will will be in play.
Mm-hmm.
And any one of those decisions will immediately skew it. You remember Tony Robbins when he first burst onto the scene with NLP? She would show this graph, a horizontal line, and then he'd go back to the beginning of the line and he'd come out at a 45-degree angle as he went up. And he'd say, look here at the very tiny difference from the one, the horizontal and the slant, the incline.
Mm-hmm.
But then the further you go, the more separate they are.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about making life changes, but it also works for predicting the future. Because the further you go away from the present moment, the more experiences, the more choices are being made by not only the sitter, the client, but everyone else who is involved in whatever the question is. So prediction is really a toughie.
When somebody says that they're 95% accurate or 99% accurate, that's
maybe
called
marketing.
Yeah. Well, maybe in that moment, you know, what they're saying is absolutely spot on. But you walk out of the store, you walk out of, you know, you make a different decision, or somebody in your life makes a different decision, and everything skews. So you can't.
Well, the angels will never predict.
You can only use any of this as a guideline. You take what resonates.
Well, you know, I'm saying
is nobody knows.
I'm being corrected even as I say that the angels never predict, because I've got people who have sat for me who insist that the angels made a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But in my understanding, what the angels did was they gave them information, which the person then interpreted as a prediction.
Right.
Like the woman who was worried about her husband getting a job. And the angel said to give it 2 months before she worried, to be patient and prayerful and trusting for 2 months, and then she could begin to worry. And she went home and marked it on her calendar.
Oh, dear.
And it was 2 days before the end of the two-month period that her husband got work.
Oh, my.
You know, and so she says, well, the angels predicted it. I don't think they did, but she thought they did. Okay, well, I'll leave it to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When Deborah said about people who predict that they're 99% accurate and so on, I had to take that with a huge grain of salt. And, in fact, many of the psychics jumped on that and said, that is a huge red flag. That is a huge red flag. Another red flag, we have a friend who went to a psychic who practically pulled her off the street
in
Niagara-on-the-Lake
yes.
to get her into the shop and have a reading. And then she told her she had a curse and had to come back and had to come back and pay all this money. And bless her heart, she was our friend, so she came immediately to us. She went from the one and came to us, and she was just so worried.
She was rattled.
She was, you know.
That happens a lot.
We get a lot of people who are rattled or who have had a bad experience with the psychic or who went to a psychic and they didn't get what they want. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so they end up here. Thank you, Angel. You know, but, I mean, we had to talk her off the edge because she was really upset. She was so upset. Poor darling. That woman put such a fear into her. And that's the thing
mm-hmm.
that psychics and mediums, reputable ones, have got to, well, reputable ones do mm-hmm. hold in their heart. This person comes to me looking for guidance. They are in a place of pain. They are vulnerable.
Totally.
And I have got, I must treat them with all the tenderness and compassion and lack of judgment and support and encouragement, you know, because they're like a tiny bird in your hand. You have power. They have trusted you. And to violate that trust or to, I mean, to me that is utterly despicable what that woman did. That is utterly despicable. I understand the slow season in Niagara-on-the-Lake. I understand.
You don't create business for yourself, though.
Somebody better come in here soon. I got to pay my bills. I understand that. But to fill someone with fear and the idea that only I can remove this curse, you have to come back to me. And you have to keep coming back. It takes so many stages and so many thousands of dollars. That is despicable.
Mm-hmm.
That is utterly despicable. And so that's a huge red flag, because we all have angels, let's face it. Loving Creator has given us angels, and angels are here to protect us. And if Loving Creator gives us an angel who cannot protect us, then Loving Creator is not the omnipotent God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Loving Creator has given us angels who can protect us, then what do we have to worry about somebody who says, oh, you have a curse? But guess what? I have an angel, and my angel is bigger than your curse.
Well, that's a whole
my God is bigger than your curse, so I don't have to worry about that.
That's a whole other topic about giving away your power.
Well, yeah, we'll have to talk. Make a note, Deborah. We have to talk about that.
I'm making
that
a note
because
now.
Because I know so many people who do. At any rate, so that's a big red flag when you're dealing with psychics and so on.
And you have to be comfortable with whoever you're sitting with.
Oh, yeah, you have to have a good rapport. We're going to talk more about finding readings and what to expect and how you can prepare for a reading. You know, what is your job? You know, our friend Angelic Whispers is in chat.
Yeah.
And she says, if a message is not positive, then the message did not come from your angels. And I completely agree. Angels can give a hard message. They can give you a scolding. They can
call you to task.
They can call you to task.
Make you honest.
But they always do. They always do it with gentleness. They do it with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
They do it with love. And they do it in a way that is supporting and empowering. For example, when I get, I mean, you know, personality, life, you know, human gene can be pretty doggone snarky and sharp.
Who are you?
I have a real talent for ugliness. And so my angel John, if I'm starting to go in that way, he will correct me. He'll say, language not becoming of an angel lady.
Mm-hmm.
And just that little gentle, you know, or are you sure you want to say that? And just that little bit of correction in just the most gentle and loving way is what it, is all it takes. And that is how the angels work, and I think that is how loving creator works too, not from condemnation but from loving support and drawing. At any rate, so those are some things about psychics and readings and predictions, and that's going to be a running theme through this because that's what we do.
Yes.
In fact, since I've been sick since basically July, but now I'm seeing dead people. Yeah, I feel like the kid in the show. I see dead people.
You've been told by a couple of our psychic friends that you've been rewired during this time.
Well,
because you've been prepared.
Well, because it so worried me that I called them up and said, can I talk to you for a minute? Something's different about my readings here. I need a little bit of information. And come to find out, all this time, what I've been seeing and thinking was my imagination was not.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, I mean, I grew up on horror movies, right? So the idea of being a medium and seeing dead people, that movie, The Sixth Sense, you know, we're seeing all the hell and bloody, and like, oh, I don't need that.
I got enough
nightmare
stress in my life.
It's a nightmare business. I don't need that. So I was never really interested in doing that type of reading.
No.
I was happy with my angels and whatnot.
But we've learned.
It's
the
difference.
To the people that we know who do this work, you've got parameters, too. You've got control. You've got power over what you see or what you want to do. You know, your gift is to empower and to uplift and support. And so you're going to be given what you need to do that without seeing people hanging from the rafters, I believe. I don't think that it'd be a cruel joke otherwise. And
mm-hmm.
and we also had a lot of people that are spiritualist mediums who were not in the book, whom we spoke with. And a couple are in the book, but we were so blown away by their holiness, by their sacred connection to Creator, and they didn't want to have any publicity. They didn't want, you know,
mm-hmm.
this is their holy work. And a lot of people, you're going to find if you're looking for somebody as a reader, look for that quality, that it's not their ego. It's not about them. It's about love and light and helping.
You're not going to find them charging you $3,200 for a half-hour reading.
No.
The people that we worked on with the book, several of them did, in fact, say, you know, well, I'm not charging, blah, blah, blah. And they are now, actually. But their charges are very reasonable. And, I mean, how many times have people told me, oh, you're not charging enough? And I'm charging for my time, not the value of the reading.
Mm-hmm.
The value of the reading is a gift from spirit. But sitting here with me for half an hour, that's what you're paying for, half an hour of my time, because I have bills too. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to charge by the value of the reading, oh, dear God, you
mm-hmm.
know. But that would, to me, I could not do that. Anyway, so.
I see that Angelic Whispers has a question.
Oh, okay. What's the question?
She is asking if there's a career pickup. She's a fellow angel lady and an author.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on having written your books and articles, et cetera. Okay, John, how's your business going to go? Okay, Angel Whispers, John is telling you a couple of different things. I don't know if you're doing public speaking, but John is suggesting that you make yourself available for public speaking. And you may already do that, but you might want to pick that up. Start working with, I don't know how much television you have done, but you may want to send out some press releases to the local TV station, because I'm seeing you talking to somebody, and it might be cable TV. It might be cable TV, but find opportunities.
She's saying radio.
Radio. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, don't just think about doing it. Do it. Send out your press release. Make your availability. And forgive me for saying this, but you want to get a hook. Okay, because the first thing you need to do is get a buzz.
She's doing radio now, she said.
Excellent. You want to get a buzz going so that you get some interest, and then when they tune in for the interest and the buzz, the commercial part of it, they're going to see the value of it. You follow? So what you want to do is, you know, we're in March. Okay, so Easter is coming. So Easter is about rebirth, renewal, in for Christians, about resurrection. So maybe you offer, you know, to somehow tie that in with your readings or answer questions or whatnot. Or if you do mediumship, you know, working with the departed, you know, what's on the other side, you know, something very broad and general that will catch the attention of, if you write an article, send it to the newspapers, if you want to send it to local cable talk shows, local newspapers, local magazines and whatnot, let them know that you're available to do this, write your article and send it to them, and that's going to generate more, a little bit more buzz for you, okay?
She did a piece about angels and humor.
Excellent. Well, that's exactly the kind of thing. Soul connection. What's your question, babe? Soul connections?
We also have a few people waiting on the line, too.
Okay, well, I'm not getting anything from soul connection. So.
Oh, she's typing.
Okay.
Future children.
Future children. Okay, now that's a prediction question, right? That's a prediction question. John? Okay, John's giving me the image of a clenched fist, soul connections. You need to take a step back. I'm so sorry to tell you this. You need to take a step back and make it less important that you have children of your own. And so broaden your attitude a bit, broaden your outlook a bit, so that the children in your family are your children. The children, if you teach in your classroom, are your children. The children that you interact with, you know, the child that you send money to every month so they have food, whatever. You know, but broaden your aspect of who are your children so that it becomes less of a hot issue for you, because the clenched fist means that we're blocking our good. And that's not a blame the victim thing. It's learning to work with your wishes and your desires. And that's not about children. That is about anything in life. If you want it so bad that you just it gets you rigid, then you're not going to have success at it, because success flows when we're relaxed and free and open, and when your deep desire for children, and that is such a beautiful desire, that is so loving that you want to share your love in this way with children, flesh of your flesh. I understand that. But you have to take a step back and be able to relax about it. And I hate to tell you, but you need to get to the place where you can say, well, my nieces and nephews are the children in the neighborhood, or the children I volunteer with at the hospital, I hold the little newborn babies or whatever, the kids that I work with at the daycare, whatever, however you get kids into your life. It's so satisfying that if I don't have my own children, I can share my love to all these children far more than I would ever bear in life. When you can get to that place, you may begin to see that. Well, one way or the other, either way, you're going to be happy. You see, you're going to be happy. And happiness is where you need to get. So I'm encouraging you to kind of take a deep breath and let the sadness go around the issue of children and the deep longing. Just kind of put that on the side if you can. Because there's so many children who need love, and as you share your love with them, you may find that this is opens the way for your own children to come into your life. I hope that helps. I get any future children for you? And that's, you know, in that sense, that's a prediction, and the angels don't do that. But, okay, you understand. I'm so glad. For those of you on the line, if you don't mind, we're going to go ahead and put you on our prayer list for your highest, happiest, and best, and our callers, too.
This one caller's been there for a long time.
Okay,
so
well.
Shall we just?
Sure.
I'm not even sure if they're waiting.
This is going to be the last one. Well, you can check.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. Are you waiting to speak with Jean?
Yes.
Hello?
I just wanted to ask a question. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yes,
hi,
okay.
Yes.
She's
been there for a long time.
Okay, I wanted to ask a
question.
If you have, if like me, I have dreams of some deceased love members, family members, I'm sorry, family members are people that I was close to here in life, and they give me messages to give back to other people and my family. Does that constitute you as being a medium, or is that just a dream?
No, I think you're receiving communication from the other side, absolutely. And I want you to confirm that, because when we have, when I have a dream about, you know, say my dad, and I wake up and the dream fades, just a dream. That's just my subconscious playing on, you know, my wish that I could pick up the phone and call my dad, right? When I have a dream about something that is coming from the other side, those dreams do not fade. You wake up and it's clear as a bell, so that you can tell somebody about it 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, the next day, that dream is still clear in your head. Do you follow? And
to me, that
is the biggest difference. Okay, so does that help you out there?
Yes. I never knew what that. I had some psychics tell me that it was a medium, but I wasn't sure because nobody can come to me and have me connect to their deceased loved ones. It only happens for me when I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm. I would just make that distinction when you tell people, say, you know, I have psychic dreams. I have, you know, I speak of the departed in my dreams, because you're right. It's not something that you can call into being. You know, you can't just say, okay,
right,
I'm going to do the reading. And, you know, yeah, it's kind of, but if you want to work with that, you know, keep your dream journal and they'll make more and more sense to you. And you might want to experiment, you know, find a psychic teacher that you can respect, someone who hits you as being very clear, very ethical, and take a course, you know,
or sit
in a development circle at a spiritualist church.
Yeah, development circle.
You know,
there's so many ways. You might even be able to have a bit of an experiment where somebody asks you if you about a certain person, and you go to sleep with that person on your mind, perhaps they might come to you. I don't know. This might be a way that spirit has chosen to use you in this way. So you might try that as well. That you go to bed with the intention of speaking to that person's friend or loved one, and see what happens when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, and I also have dreams. I dream things that kind of come to be as well.
My aunt had that gift very, very strongly, and that's
really
definitely. Now, the nice thing about being psychic is there are such an array of psychic tools that you can use to exert a little bit more control over the insight.
Mm-hmm.
Up till now, it's been coming to your dream through your dreams, so it has been out of your hands. So now if you start to work with, you know, just try a few different things. You know, go to a bookstore, a metaphysical bookstore, and pick up one of their demonstration tarot decks and play with that and see if that means anything to you. Or look at the crystal ball and, you know, kind of work with it, get quiet, and see if images come to your mind. You know, take a meditation class. Sometimes people find their psychic gifts opening up when they learn Reiki, because Reiki is all about allowing spirit to work through you. So any of those things you can do may assist you in developing your gift and being able to be in I don't want to say being in control, but you do have an element of control, because then you can choose when you're going to pick up the cards and read them and when you're not. You know, that does give you some control over it. And it might be
I don't know,
useful for you.
I don't know what is it called when you I don't know, where people just come to me and, like, you know, they'll be having an app come to me with their problems or whatever and ask me for advice or whatever, and I will just tell them what I think or what I think they should be doing, or they'll ask me, like, something concerning their boyfriend, and I'm saying things like, I think that he's feeling like this, and maybe if you do A, B, C, and D, then I think things probably will turn around. And then they'll come back to me and they'll say, how did you know that? How did you know if I did this and that? And I said, I don't know, but I've guessed that my whole life ever since I was probably about 15. And and so many people come to me and say, you really should be a relationship therapist or a marriage therapist. Like, we don't know how you just know stuff. And I don't know either.
Well, you know,
I just say whatever comes to my mind, and it just works out for them.
You hit on it right there. You say whatever comes to your mind. You're not screening it. You're not second guessing it. You're giving what you were given. That's acting purely, you know, I mean, you're going on intuition, which is another word for your psychic ability, you know. I mean, you're giving this information intuitively. You speak it, and then it serves to benefit them. And I would tell you that that is one of the main, well, that is probably the only purpose for having any of these gifts, is to bless other people, to guide them, to give them a little bit of a boost, a little bit of an assist, reassurance, you know, to give them courage. I mean, that's why you have that gift, to help them through a hard patch. And so when you're giving them their advice, just kind of listen to what you're saying. And I believe you're going to hear that what's coming from you is not judgmental. That's a real clear indication of spirit. I know I have found myself in readings where I had a reading where two people came to me. They were deeply in love, and they were married to two other people. Well, I have to tell you, given my religious upbringing, that is a decided no-no. And, you know, old earthly Gene immediately came to the fore, and I wanted to tell him, oh, but no, you go back and you honor your marriage, Ross. What the heck is wrong with you? Shame on you, blah, blah, blah. That was my personality inclination. And then we did the reading, and the reading was so generous and so loving, and it talked about contracts, and it talked about, you know, how we learn from each other and how, you know, love may not last. I mean, it was very affirming for them, which is exactly the opposite direction that I wanted to go. But it was loving. And it was supportive, and it kind of helped them on their way. And it understood that, you know, sometimes people change, and in a way that, you know, I was not ready to accept at that point in my life. And, you know, I find that that's where spirit is, always the most loving and non-judgmental and helpful. Deborah's giving me three fingers, and I don't know if she's giving me
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay, there you go. I was
okay.
W.
I was being quiet. I was giving you the quiet signal.
And I'm thinking,
3 minutes.
W. Okay, what about W? What about W?
Well, you're not very psychic.
At any rate, I hope that helps you today. We're going to say goodbye. It's time for us to hang up.
It really,
you have a wonderful day.
It sounds as though it's time for you to develop those gifts.
You're being
I would
nudged.
Encourage you.
You're because
nudged.
You're helping people, and the more you learn about it, and the more you can control it, the better help you can give.
That's right.
You know, spirit is all about divine love. It's all about love.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Have a
great day.
Okay, thank you, ladies, so much. Thank you.
You are
blessings.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to Angel Whispers, Angelical Whispers, and Soul Connections for their questions.
Yes.
And we bless all of you guys.
Well,
if you'd like to stay in touch, we have a newsletter, www.theangelladies.com. That's with two L's, theangelladies.com. You can get into the newsletter. And if you are on Facebook, look up The Angel Ladies. We put up a thought for the day, which I haven't yet done because I was busy getting ready for this. But we'll have a thought for the day coming up. And
we'll be back next Wednesday at noon,
next
lunchtime.
Wednesday.
We'll talk
more about.
Aren't you glad that I budgeted 45 minutes?
I'm so glad you budgeted 45
Jean
minutes.
Jean says, we can't fill an hour.
Well, it's a teacher in me. Had you given me half an hour, and at that 29-minute mark, I thought about saying, well, that's it for today. But I got the nudge not to, so we didn't. At any rate, we hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
A million blessings to you.
And we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on our program. If you'd like to learn more about the Angel Ladies and the products and services we offer, just visit our website at theangelladies.com. You'll find a link to subscribe to our mailing list and an invitation to join us on our Facebook page. Until next time, may you walk with angels and may you be blessed.